Mrs. Wallace, you have six Mishnayos that deal with the Arba Midas. Arba Midas. Take a look. Yud, Arba Midas Bodam. Homer Shali Shali Shaloch Shaloch. Yud Aleph. Arba Midos Bideos. Noach Lichos Noach Lertos. Yud Beis. Arba Midas Talmidim. Maila Shmoa Maila Abe. Yud Gimel. Arba Midas Benos Nech Zaka. Arotza Shidin Leidin Acherim, etc. Yidalar Abba Midas Bochel Leis Amedrash and Tesvav Abba Midas V'yoshim Lefnei Chachamim. All right? So it seems to me that these Mishnayos are all of obviously the kind of the Mishnah wanted to show that these Mishnayos all are closely related, interrelated. They're interrelated. All right. So let's take a look. Let's see if we could work out some kind of an order. This I'd ask you, do you want to go through each one individually first, or do you want to go for the overall pattern first? Which would you rather go?
No, but you'd rather do individual.
Individual first?
And then look for the relationship there.
Okay. All right. Characteristics of man. Ha'omer shali shali, the shaloch shaloch, zumi the bengis. Person says, what I have is mine, and what you have is yours. This is a midabengis. Okay. It means he's neither a tzaddik nor a rasha. Okay, Benini. Okay. The Yesham is the Midas Dom. Some say that this is the Midas Dom. Midas Dom is the worst kind of a connotation that you can possibly express. Midas Dom. Alright, everybody is aware of it. So I mean, you have to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems from Midas Beinoni to Midas Dom is quite a distance. All right, because Midas Dom means Yichayev Misa. That's what Midas Dom means. Chayev Misa. All right, then it's Shali Shaloch, the Shaloch Shali. And the person says that what? That what I have is yours, and what you have is mine. Communism. Alright? I'm Horace. He's an ignoramus. It means, what does it mean he's an ignoramus? An ignoramus means that, too good marks to learn his mission. It means that he's, it's a good connotation. It's not bad. We use I'm Horace as in a negative way. The person is an Amorite, so we say that it's a pejorative. You're putting the person down, you say it's an Amorite. But the Mishnah doesn't use that way. Amorites really means somebody that has some kind of good qualities. All right, we'll get back to it in a minute. What exactly? What does it mean? But besides, anybody remember when we did Amorites? What is an Amorite? He's a good person. He's fine emotions. That's the way. A person that everybody would like to be a neighbor of is an Amoritz. Everybody would like to have as a neighbor Amoritz. Fortunately, they do. Okay. So that's the third one. Then, Shali Shaloch, Amoritz. Shali Shaloch, the Shaloch Shaloch. The person that says that what I own is yours, and what you own is yours. So that's a chosid. That's the highest level. Shali shali, the shaloch shali, person that says what I have is mine, and what you have is mine as well, is a Russian. That's the worst. Okay. So of course the Mishnah leaves a lot to be explained. Alright, you want this taken individually? Go ahead. That's right. Good question. Exactly. We don't understand that. We don't understand the Mishnah itself. Why the Mishnah wavers between saying that he's a Beinoni and saying that he's a Midas Dom. It's almost an akatsa lakatsa, almost from one extreme to the other extreme. All right? It is from one extreme to the other extreme, actually. I mean, almost. Amoritz would be. Amoritz and Midas Dom would be an akatsa lakatsa, to the extreme. Okay. Yeah, what does the Ram say on this? Ram doesn't say too much. Ram just says, Hine is bar b'zeh ha-maimah sh'achosiru sh'yah b'pulah sato. He goes back to his method that he established with the golden mean, and the chosid goes more to one side. All right, I mean, doesn't really explain the Mishnah. The one that has the most powerful kash over here, on the surface of the Mishnah, is Rabbeinu Yonah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. He says, Shalish, okay? What I have is mine, and what you have is yours. Ain't known the divlay. So he's not a generous person. But he's a good person. Shesoni matanos, because he doesn't like when somebody gives him something. He's happy he wants to have his own. Vikasha, he asks. Sheikh Yomur Shazum Nida Benanis. How could they say that this is an intermediary kind of Nida? Valo hamonea atmo militein tzedakah, a person that does not give tzedakah, Rasha Gamor. He's an absolute Rasha. Ubishlam laman dom rashu midas dom asishashu. That's good according to a person that says midas dom. Fine. According to that man dom. Okay. Close the passage. Yeah, because dom, ines yavon tzedom achosva, yad oni vevion loach zikro. They didn't support the oni and the evion, the poor person. Elohochen Mairi benosein tzedakah meyiras Hashem. Interesting thing. It means the person gives tzedakah because of yiras Hashem. He's afraid. Here's a very big motivation. And it's a motivation for tzedakah too. Ach betivo hu kili. Kili means he's stingy. But by nature, he's a stingy person. Elohochen ach Hashem marzik yad oni ve'evion malanu ulitivo. Amida atma beninus. Alright. So what is his answer? So what is his answer? He gives duck out of fear. Alright, so he gives duck out of fear, so it's an effect of his giving duck as an effect of fright. I mean, so why is that really why is that? No, he's saying he's a beninus because of that. In other words, he's saying because he says he must be speaking by a person that gives tzedakah at least out of fear. Because if he doesn't give tzedakah even out of fear, then he's an absolute Russian. But since he gives tzedakah out of fear, so he says, the midah itself is a midah benenis. Yeah. So what is the answer? I mean. What's the explanation? Okay? What's the explanation? Yeah.
Why is it like
change?
Yeah.
The meat is like change. Right. Nature means. Shalish, 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 tell me it's meat of bainness. Is it a Russian? Doesn't get started in a Russian. It's an interesting thing. Take a look. He's saying basically this. He's saying it's no kasha. Why? You see, you have to understand, what is the Mishnah dealing with? What is the underlying concept of the Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah say this? Arba Midos, I mean, and then we're going to border on the concept of these Arba Midos business. The Arba Midos, all these Mishnayos are Arba Midos. Arba Midos, the Ba'odam. First one is Arba Midos Ba'odam. Okay? Then it's interesting, you have about Tzedakah also. Because in Mishnah Yigimel it says, Arba Midos Benos Ne Tzedakah. All right, there are four characteristics of those who give tzedakah. There's a rotsa sheyitein v'leit na'acherim, a person that wants to give, but others he doesn't want others to give. Ain't a rov b'shal acherim. And yit na'acherim v'leitein, there's different four possibilities. So what is the underlying concept of the mission? What is the mission saying? I mean, where is the mission coming from? What's the source of it? That's the problem in unraveling this Mishnah. What is the Mishnah talking about? I mean, why is this so important? What point is the Mishnah discussing? Okay. Yeah. And how does this differ? I mean, since the Rabbeinu brings it up, we could ask the question, how does this differ with tzedakah? Why doesn't he just tell us about tzedakah? I mean, this has to do with tzedakah because he's saying shalish, shalish, shalach, shalach. That obviously means a person doesn't want to get tzedakah. That's what he's saying. That's his thought. He's saying he's not a generous person. Shalish, shalish, shalach, shalach. He's not a generous person. Okay, as a mile, he doesn't want to take from others, but he's still not a generous individual. So what is the underlying idea of Mishnah? These four Mishnayos, it's interesting, these six Mishnayos, but we have to get a little bit into the universal there. Otherwise, we're not going to understand the particular Mishnah. If you take a look, you'll see there are six Mishnayos, as we mentioned before, but the truth of the matter is the Rambam eliminates two. He says that it's not six, but it's 4 and 2. Take a look. In Mishnah Yudbeis, it says, Arba Midos B'Talmidim. It says there are four qualities when it comes to a person as a student who studies Torah. Ma'ir L'Shmoa or Ma'ir La'Abe. A person that understands quickly, but he forgets very quickly. And then you have the four variations. Okay? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, Histakel, observe. Eichlo Korah HaNovon HaZachron Chosid. He says, over here we're not talking about, in all the other Mishnayos, in the other four, you take a look, it says, he's a Chosid, he's a Rush. That's in Mishnah Yud. In Mishnah Yud Aleph, it's speaking about a person who angers, about anger. A person angers quickly, slowly, he's easy to appease. So again, you're dealing with Rasha and with Chosid. All right? In Mishnah Yud Gimel, you're dealing with the, again, with giving tzedakah, the third one, also Rasha and Chassid. And again in Mishnah Yud Dalet, Arba Midos Bochad Beis HaMedrash. Four qualities of people who go to the Beis HaMedrash, you're dealing with Rasha and Chassid again. But Mishnah Yud Beis, where it says, where it speaks about the qualities of the students, of the person who's a student, it means everybody, because everybody's a student. Okay? So speaking about the qualities of learning, and also tezvah, arba midos v'yoshim lefnei chachomim. There are four qualities of people who sit in front of the wines, sit in front of Chachmei Yisrael. Again, it doesn't say anything about chosid and Russia. So the Rambam says you should observe how over here the Mishnah did not use the appellations of chosid and Russia. He says, why? Mivnei shehimai l'sichlus, because this is an intellectual perfection. The Koro Chacham, the Lo Kora Kasha, the one that he praises, he called a Chacham, a wise person. The Lo Kora Kasha Lahovino and Yonin, the Rava Shikha Rasha. He didn't call a person that has difficulty understanding things, and a person that's forgetful. He didn't call him a Rasha. Why, he says, Mipne Shaina Biyadam. Because this is something that is not in his hands. There's nothing he can do about it. The Eino Mina Milos, Asher Efshe L'Knosam. And they are not from the attributes that a person is capable of attaining. Kimosha Bianu Terakashim. In other words, this is something, there are some things that a person can attain. One of them is a great intellect. A person can be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but an intellect, he can't increase his intellect. Intellectual abilities are fixed. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says that that's a myth, by the way. Yeshivas always try to project this myth that a person, if he learns, he can zil nov if the zayin agayin. Zil nagayin. A lot of people were zils, but zil nov, but they weren't gayin. So this is simply because a person doesn't like to believe that he has certain inherent limitations. A person doesn't like to accept that. But the truth of the matter is that we all have limitations. We have physical limitations, we have intellectual limitations. And it is true that a person can improve upon what he has. What does the Pasuk say? Machimas Pesach, to make a fool wise. Because it could teach him to utilize all the potential that he has. But his potential has a fixed limitation. That's why when it talks about the four types of Talmidim,
So the thing is like this. So the Rambam says that there are two Mishnayos out of the six that don't deal with Chassid and Rasha, because these are inherent human limitations, and that is the characteristics and the qualities of a scholar. All right. So that's the Mishnah Yudeis and Mishnah Tesvot. Okay. So those two are separate. Those are intellectual qualities. The Mishnah is defining the Mishnah is defining the qualities of a perfected person, and a perfected person is made up of two components. He's made up of his intellectual abilities, plays a vital role in his perfection in Yadus, and also his temperament, his nature, his temperament. So the Mishnah, that is perfection. The sum total of perfection is broken up into two components. In Yadus, there's two components, his intellectual and his characteristics, his temperament. Okay, perfection is a result of both. Now, man has control in one area, in the area of his temperament. But he has no control in his God-given gifts, his intellectual gifts. There he has no control. And that simply he has to accept. He has a limitation, he has a limitation. What does the Bnei Yonah says? Bnei Yonah says, even though it's bad for a person to forget, if a person has a bad memory, so he can't do anything about it, but he says, we had it before. He says, but it's not a proof in learning. I mean, he still has to involve himself in learning, because the act of learning Torah is the act of learning Torah is something which perfects a person. Knowledge is something which perfects a person. It is to be done without any objective. So even an individual who can't doesn't have a great mind is still mechuyev in Talmud Torah, because learning is perfection. But nevertheless, he can't reach the perfection of a person who's endowed naturally with great intellectual capacity. He can't reach the perfection of a Rambam. I mean, it's an impossibility, but that's not his business. I mean, his concern is only with reaching perfection insofar as he is a Bria, insofar as he is a Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not his business whether there are other people that have greater intellects than him. There's nothing to do with it. If that was the case, then it would be the only one that would learn. It would be maybe Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Shlomo Melech. I mean, there's always levels of intellectual levels. So even though a person can't be a great scholar, he can never become a great scholar, but it's not a patur from perfection. He has to be concerned with perfection insofar as his reality is concerned. And that's one of the Aseres HaDibros, that a person is not supposed to be envious. Not supposed to be envious means a person has to accept the reality that God gave him. Whatever other reality exists outside of himself, around him, should not play any role in determining his actions. That's none of his business. Why God created, made a creature that is superior to him, that's God's business. It has nothing to do with him. He has only one concern. He has to be like Adam Arishon. He's the only man in the world, and insofar as he's concerned, he has his reality, and he has to live within the framework of his reality. That itself, by the way, is a perfection. So when the Mishnah, when the Rambam, that's why the Rambam mentions it. The Rambam mentions it because that's part of these Mishnayos deal with human perfection. That's one of the aspects of human perfection. That a person, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't say chassid in Russia, because the Mishnah wants a person to be able, to be capable of accepting. A person has to be capable of accepting his own limitations. He can't do anything about it, and he shouldn't try to imagine that if he's a bigger masmid, he's going to become like the Vilna Gaon. He'll never become like the Vilna Gaon, but it has nothing to do with it. So he's not like the Vilna Gaon. He has to be perfected in his own framework. And that's why I say in the yeshivas many times, in order to prod Talmidim to learn, what they do is they create a myth that if the person really is a tremendous masmid, and if he really learns day and night, that he's going to become a Gadlador. It's wrong. It's wrong. At a certain point, perhaps you could say, I mean, mitoch shalol shma bo shma, a certain level, but if these things are carried too far, they're detrimental. Because what happens is, after a while, a person realizes, I know such a person that learned yeshiva, and then he closed the Gemara for 25 years. Because he thought that if he really works hard, he's going to become a tremendous gadol, and he tried it for a few years. And, of course, the other people always say he never tried hard enough. But he felt he tried hard enough. And he didn't get it. So that was the end of the Gemara. And he closed the Gemara for for more than two decades because he simply was disappointed. So this is unfortunately, it wasn't his fault. It's unfortunately the system. The system promotes a lot of myths. And this is one of them, which is a harmful one. A person has to learn Torah because he realizes that in his life there's only one thing that can help him, and that is perfection. And perfection means insofar as he is capable of. Nothing to do with any other people that happen to exist around him, before him, after him. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with himself. The person's focus must be on his own reality. And that's the tenth of the Aseret HaDibros, not to be envious. Not to be envious means that the person has to recognize that God can create other realities besides his, and this is God's business, it's not his business. So they are malachim. Malachim means they're angels. We believe in angels. What do we believe in angels? We believe that there are intelligences that can perceive Chochmas Hashem to a greater extent than man, and they don't have physical bodies. Malachim, we believe in Malachim every morning. What the Malachim say, Kadosh, 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 Shem Tzlokos, Malach Olaz Kivada. They understand that pasuk. We don't understand that pasuk, but they understand the pasuk well. But the Malachim, we can't, the person will be upset that he's not a Malach. I mean, it's nonsensical. So in the same manner, a person cannot be upset about the fact that there are other individuals around him that are endowed with greater capabilities than he has. A person must accept such a thing. He must live within the framework of his own reality. That's why the Rambam says the Mishnah didn't say chosid in Russia with regard to those two Mishnayos, only with regard to the four. Because the four, you can do something about, but the two, you can't do anything about. Okay. Even though it is true, as I said, that a person by learning Torah can utilize his potential and can increase his potential to a tremendous degree, but it still is limited. A person shouldn't fool himself into thinking he can increase his potential, so that means he can do anything intellectually. It's a limitation. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the human being, before he's involved in Torah and after he's involved in Torah, has achieved tremendous, there's gone a tremendous difference. There's a tremendous difference then between the person when he first starts and between, you shouldn't minimize the difference. The difference is very great. The distance is great. But that has nothing to do, people confuse, what they do is they're very happy to hear they can improve tremendously in Chachma, but they don't want to stop there. They feel they bridge the gap between that that emotion and the emotion of omniscience. If there's no end to his knowledge, you become omniscient. I mean, that is wrong. That is false. It's wrong. A person has to be able to live within, the person has to be mature. He has to be able to live within the reality of his own framework. And it is true, it happens to be true, that there's no comparison between a person who's an Amoritz, who hasn't utilized his potential, and a person who's involved himself in learning, is a different person intellectually. He's even superior to people that are endowed with greater minds, that haven't been untrained minds. But it's still a limitation. He still is not a super genius. I mean, he still has limitations. Okay, so a person should realize that that is beneficial to improve his intellect, but it should be in the framework of perfecting his own reality. Then he won't get caught up in that emotion. If the framework is because he wants to become a superior intellect, then he's never going to be happy, because he's never going to become a superior intellect, and he'll be unhappy all his life. But if his framework is his own reality, then he'll be very happy, because he'll see how much he has accomplished in terms of his own life, and this leads a person to a happy existence, a joyous existence, because he's happy with his own framework. So that's the key. That's the point. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. Yes. Having some kind of thought. Should be always be involved in some kind of thought. If a person is not involved in thought, it has to do with some emotional problem that he has. That's the answer to Asmada. The person, insofar as a person is not involved in thought or can't learn, you see, people say, they get exhausted from learning. You don't get exhausted from learning because the mind doesn't get tired. But the person gets exhausted from the strain of learning because he feels he's doing something that he doesn't want to do, or he should be doing something else. Or there's a psychological reasons why he gets tired. The psyche gets tired. The mind never gets tired. Mind always can keep on going. So you see, even a person in the weakest state can still think. It's the last thing that a person loses is his ability to use his mind. So the truth of the matter is that a person by nature should always be thinking. That should be the nature of man. Because the use of the mind for man is the greatest enjoyment. But there are reasons why people can't do it. There's psychological reasons. The way the person was raised, the society, different reasons. In our society, there are a lot of reasons. Because in our society, we're taught from early youth, our association to learning is not a good one. And it becomes, it's a bad association, because it's a rote kind of thing, painful kind of thing. And therefore, because of that, a lot has to do with that. So then a person the rest of his life thinks this is a painful thing. So he associates any kind of learning with that, with that process. But, yes. That's what it means. I don't think that's what it means. I don't think the reason you ask question, the Talmud Chacham is chayav an ona, means that there's an obligation that, that a person has to his wife in terms of intercourse. So the Gemara says Talmud Chacham only has an obligation of once a week because he's weak, because he's involved in thought all the time. But I don't think it means weak in that sense. I don't think it means physically weak. What it means is that it's the same energy source that is being tapped for thought. As man is the human being is made up in this world, his mind functions through certain machinery, and the machinery that it uses is the same energy as from the sexual source. Like the Rambam says that a person that ain't hurim boyim ela b'leif ponim in a chachma. A person is involved in thought; he doesn't think about sexual matters. It means because the energy is being consumed, so it's the same energy source. In that sense, the Gemara means he's weak. Doesn't mean he's weak physically. Doesn't mean he's weak physically. It means because the energy source has been tapped. So he doesn't have the energy for it. Weak in the sense of low energy in that area. Not weak in the sense of physically weak. You know, and I don't think there's any... the Gemara says the many Talmidei Chacham were very strong. Physically very strong. His only Goyen is reputed to be been a very powerful person. So, and the Gemara says different stories. Tanoim, very strong people. So it's not Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is very strong. Yaakov Avinu, what?
David HaMelech.
David HaMelech. Strong? It means weak in the sense that the energy, he doesn't have that much energy to direct in that area. That's what it means by weak. Okay? That's what it means. Tavon HaTeshes Kochas Lodin is not a physical, it's not a physiological phenomenon. Now in the Chazal were weaker than other people. Yes? Get started. Psychological strain. Psychological strain is because you think it's something that you want, you're convinced that you should be enjoying yourself more somewhere else, and you're convinced that this is a strained process. If you realize that this is the most enjoyable process, and there's nothing else to do, then you wouldn't have that problem. Okay. So But that's something definitely that can improve as a person gains. I mean, you see factually, see it's true. That people that have difficulty... You see yeshiva, you see people when they come first come to yeshiva a lot of times, they have difficulty learning for an hour. And then you see a few months later, you see the same person learning through the Dharma day. And they're not any problem. It's because of the attitude. It's really a matter of attitude. It's not a matter of a physical problem. You know what I mean? Or an inherent problem. Okay. That's learning. That's the biggest outlet. But the reason why a person needs an outlet is because of the fact that he thinks he's being constrained by learning. So he always has this tension. So therefore he says, now I have to have an outlet. That's the...
psychological thing too, though.
No, it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong and it's right. It's wrong because you don't need because it's based on the false notion. But it's right because a person does need an outlet, but the outlet is learning. That should be the greatest enjoyment. I mean, that happens to be that for man, the greatest enjoyment is thought. There's no greater excitement. What does Ramban say? Ein simcha katarsis fikas. There's no greater excitement than intellectual excitement. This is the greatest enjoyment. There's nothing that can compete to it. That could be as powerful, as constant, as steady as the enjoyment of thought. The greatest. You see thinkers. You don't have to look into Torah alone. You see thinkers in the world in general, great minds. How much they love. How they love thinking. Hawking, you see, mathematicians, you see, people just their whole lives, every minute of the day is devoted to thought. So thinking is not a process that's a strain. I mean, it's just the imperfection of the person that causes him to think that he's mentally exhausted. Okay. Now, in the Mishnayos, so therefore you have like this. You have four and two. Two are of the intellectual nature, and which can't be changed. And four, a person is capable of doing something with, accomplishing, changing. All right? So what's the first one? The first one is Arba Midos Bodom. The first one is the four characteristics of man. And the second one is the one with Kas. And the third one is the one with Zdokah. And the fourth one is the ones of Hochei Beis HaMedrash. So you have to say, at first glance, without even looking into the Mishnayos, that obviously these Mishnayos are going to set forth before us the total realm of the perfection of man, total gamut of the perfection of man. And they chose areas which have to do with human perfection. All right? First one is Ava Midas Ba'adam. Shali Shali Shalach Shalach. Okay? And then that is very closely related to tzedakah. And the question, as a matter of fact, is why shouldn't that be one? Giving tzedakah has to do with, if a person gets tzedakah, so what is it? What he's saying is Shali Shalach. And as he's saying, basically, Shali Shalach. He's giving tzedakah. Why is he giving tzedakah? All right? And the Rabbanion interjects immediately. The question, the person doesn't get tzedakah, he's a Rasha. He's a Rasha. Yeah. Tzedakah, by the way, so the question, of course, is what does it have to do? Why is tzedakah and why aren't these duplications? Tzedakah and a person's attitude towards his possessions. Well, seeing his attitude towards his possessions and tzedakah would be the same problem. Same question. All right? Tzedakah would seem to be an individual case of his attitude towards his possessions. And yet the Mishnah sets it apart as a different thing altogether. Let's grapple with that problem. Okay? Yeah. What does it mean when it says arba midos ba'odom? All right? Arba midos ba'odom. Yeah. It means to say that when you want to first look at the first opportunity we have to look at a person's perfection is in terms of what? What is the Mishnah discussing here? Shali, shali, shalach, shali, shali, shalach. What is the Mishnah discussing here? But emotions, insofar as what is concerned, it's an issue. What is the topic of the Mishnah? What's the topic of the Mishnah? Yes. To put it even more common terms, his sense of what? Fairness. Ego comes into it. You're right. Ego is the opposite. It's fairness. His sense of fairness. That's what the Mishnah is discussing. The person says, shali, shali, shalach, shalach. It means his sense of fairness. In other words, every person is by nature endowed with a healthy ego, but he's also endowed with another aspect, another part, his mind, his intellect. So his ego would really have him believe
that the entire world, as a matter of fact, all of humanity, up to the point that he was born, was really created for himself.
But actually, there's another aspect, another part of man that recognizes the external reality. The ego is the internal reality. But there's another part of him that recognizes there is an external reality. There are other people. There are other people in this world. So a person with a sense of fairness has to conclude, shali shali, shalach shalach. Okay? That is the basic raw conclusion that an individual must come to. And that's why it's called Mida Beninus. Beninus means that's basic. It means to say that there's a balance between his ego and between reality. Reality infringes on his ego. His ego wants to take everything. But the reality principle tells him that it doesn't make any sense. Why should you receive more than anybody else if you're both equal? So you both are equal in terms of your rights to possession, rights for the self. There's no difference. So shali shali shalach shalach. Okay, that's Benny. You have three of them. You have Beinoni, then you have Russia, then you have Amoritz. Achas will leave later. Okay. Yeah, Amidus Dom. That's right, Amidus Dom. Right. Now, we have to understand Russia, we understand. Russia is the individual who is completely egocentric, and that's where he holds Shali Shali and Shalach Shali. Okay? And Shalach Shali. Ooh, there's one person in Tanakh that typifies the Russia. Typifies Russia, is it? It's Novo, and also, but the Kerem Novos. Remember Achav and Kan Novos? Kan Novos, yeah. That he, the king, that he had the this fellow Novos had a kerem, owned a kerem right near the king's palace. And the king was disturbed, his devil really, she got him going. That this kerem, he has to have this kerem. Yes, sir. So he went over to Novos and he said, you know, could I like to purchase it? Novos was a very traditional person. He said, Halili, give up the Nachlas of Osai. Can't, this has more meaning. It's not just a possession. This is Nachlas of Osai. No money you can give me is going to be able to appease me. So he had a problem. So he killed him. And then he had him killed, and then he took it over. He made believe it was he took it. He didn't. He hid his deed. He concealed his deed.
He inherited.
That's why the Navi said it was. Right. Eliyosa. Haratzachto v'gam Yerashta. He said, in other words, you killed and you also inherited. This is a type of disaster, strange kind of inheritance. But it means to say, I don't want you to misunderstand this. When it means to say that the Russia says shali shali and shalach shali, it doesn't mean chas v'sholem that the Russia would make such a pronouncement. See, no Russia makes such a pronouncement. That's not an idiot. Person that goes around and says shali shali shalach shali, he doesn't know. No one's going to be that foolish to make such a statement. He's intelligent. He knows that nobody accepts this. But it's referring to his inner attitude. His inner attitude is shali shali shalach shali. But he's intelligent. He is. That's the story with Achav. Haratzachta v'gam yarashta. You killed somebody and you also inherited it. He wants it to look like an inheritance. He doesn't want it to look like ritzicha. But basically, he's ready to commit ritzicha if he can get away with it. You see, but it doesn't mean that he overtly would make such a statement. The Russia is insidious; he's sly. But the Mishnah is talking about his underlying feelings, his attitude, his feelings, his genuine attitude. Okay, his genuine attitude. His genuine attitude is that shali shali and shalach shali. But he knows society won't allow this. It's really a person who lives according to society, societal contract. That he can't. I won't kill you. You don't kill me. I won't take your property, you don't take my property. He's in favor of law and order. The Rush is in favor of law and order, because he wants protection. But his underlying attitude is that if he could possibly obtain what the other individual has without suffering any loss of honor, or any loss in terms of his safety, he would be willing to do it. That's his underlying attitude. That's what the Mishnah says. The underlying attitude of the Rush is shali, shali, shalach, shali. The genuine attitude of the Benami is fairness. Fairness, that's the Benami. I have my possessions, you have yours. Okay. You have yours. It's a compromise. Don't take mine, I won't take yours. We're each endowed with rights. Okay. Now, just a second. That's the Benami. Now, what about... Now we have to deal with the Amhorets. The Amhorets. And why is it called Midas? Okay, you want to take that first? Why is it called Midas Dom? That's a good question. Why is this called Midas Dom? I mean, it's from one extreme to the other. What's the answer? Wow. See, the answer... Yes.
Think about it. Huh?
What is it here? What is the difference between him? What's the machlokes between him and the Benin? What's the machlokes between him and the Benin?
Because he's basically not... It's not really what he's not saying that I could take what's yours. That's just an indication that... He basically views the discern set reality. We can all partake in whatever it is that we don't feel comfortable. You know,
in other words, the Benini, yes, right. The Benini maintains that there's an institution of possession. The Benini is happy with that institution. He needs that institution of possession so he can have the sense of Shali. See, the satisfaction of the Benini's ego is found where? It would seem like the Benini, we said before, Benini is a compromise between the ego and between the reality principle. Okay? But where is the compromise? It would seem he gave in totally to reality. He gave in totally to reality. No, he didn't give in totally to reality. Why not? In the Shali. That's where he enjoys. The ego is, this is mine. See? The idea of mine appeals to him because the ego now is very satisfied, very happy to have the concept of possession. The Am Haaretz is superior. Because the Am Haaretz says, what do we need this for? It's all nonsensical. We all want to exist together, so why don't we just forget about possessions and we could share? Share, mutual sharing? Why can't... See, the Benini can't tolerate that, because the Benini, if he had that, his ego is completely distraught, because he doesn't have the sense, he's looking for that sense of possession. And he doesn't have it because he doesn't have the legal frame of ownership. There's no chali. He can't tolerate that. The Am Haaretz is superior. The Am Haaretz says, look, there's no need for this artificiality. Why don't we just want to all live together? So we share together. There's no need for this whole possession. It's a higher level. The Am Haaretz is a higher level. So now we return to the Benini. Why is it the case of the Benini, Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach? Why do some say that's Midas Dom? Why do some say that's Midas Dom?
No way around that.
Because it depends on why the person really says Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach. There are two possibilities. A person can say Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach because it's a compromise. It's a compromise. But there's another Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach. And that is that the Shalach, Shalach is a result of the Shali, Shali. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, the reason why the person says Shalach, Shalach is not because of the fact that he recognizes that other person has rights just like him. But he has to accept it because he doesn't want to get away from the Shali, Shali. You see, his own possessiveness. His own possessiveness demands it's in danger because he's afraid that if I don't say Shalach, Shalach, then there's a question of how could I say Shali, Shali? It's not logical. His isn't so mine. And I might have to give to somebody else. The idea of giving to somebody else is so painful that he's happy to set up the system of Shali, Shali, Shalach, Shalach. The Gemara says that's something that says, that's Midas Dom. That is precisely the Midas Dom. Sodom was a very, very lawful place. Because how do you know it was a lawful place? Because it says, Lo was the judge. So it was a judge. It was a community where they had law. They believed very strongly in law. Very strongly. And their law was that Shali, Shali, Shalach, Shalach. So if you're coming by Sodom, you have to remember that just remember, you have to abide by that principle. There's no such thing as a person in need. No such thing as a person in need in Sodom. You take care of yourself. You can't take care of yourself. You're in trouble. Don't expect us to go through the painful process of breaking the Shali Shali. That's the machlekes in the Mishnah. It's a machlekes in the Mishnah is whether the one that... As a matter of fact, I don't believe seriously that it's a true machlekes. I don't think it's a true machlekes. It's not a true machlekes in the sense that one party is arguing with the other party. One man don't argue. They're both right. It's mara machodah, mara machodah veloplim. Not a machlekes. There are two types of people that come to the conclusion of Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach. One is out of a sense of fairness. Sense of fairness, like the Constitution of the United States. That's the, each person is endowed with the right pursuit of happiness. So each one is equal before the law. That's the good one. That's the Benini. That's Benini. Okay? That's the country's built on it. Benini. Then there's another Shali, Shali, and Shalach, Shalach, which is really... Not a true, genuine result of the sense of fairness, but it's because of the fact that the person can't part. You see, the shali is so enjoyable that the person can't part with the shali. So he sets up the shalach because he doesn't want to endanger the shali. You understand? That's a different kind of individual. Different. Don't bother me. Like this is mine. You take care of yourself. I would love to. It's really not even a compromise. I would love to take yours, but I realize once the institution of law is broken, then that's it. Then I'm finished. So therefore, I'm happy with the institution. The institution is a safeguard against. It's really a complete. What it is the person is in his own mind is looking for an egocentric world. So the shalach is you stay out of my world, stay in your world. I can't be bothered with your world. I'm in my world. That's the shali. So it's an ego. It's egocentricity that has set itself up on different boundaries. Just realize it. It can't do it practically, so it sets itself up on different boundaries. But basically, it's midas. That is midas dom. What was the main law of dom was that they wanted to stop the be over at Regal. They don't want to have anybody coming through the city. They don't want to have anybody coming through. You stay in your city. We stay in our city. That's it. That was all fine.
The only reason he allows to show up is in order to protect his show.
Exactly. The difference between him and the Russia is a mental phenomenon. In other words, in one case, see, the Russia is more in line with the underlying egoism, egocentricity. Yeah, he hasn't, this person has abandoned egocentricity consciously. It's a conscious abandonment of egocentricity. But he still, it has simply reasserted itself in a more sublimated form, reestablished itself in a more sublimated form. The conscious egocentricity has accepted certain. It's in other words, it's an intermingling of the rationality, reality, and but it's essentially, it's made up of, it derives its strength from the egocentricity. Whereas the Russia has not compromised. He has raw egocentricity. Where this person has made a compromise, he's taken the law and he's used it as a component of setting up his egoistic system. But he believes in it. Doesn't mean he's insincere. He believes in it. So just stay out of my world. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I take care of myself, you take care of yourself. That's it. That's Shakespeare. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. That's Shakespeare's, that is meet us don't. Yes. The Russia, you mean the Russia seems to be worse than Saddam. The Russian
really raw ego. He doesn't even have the ability to compromise at all.
He exactly.
Everything and go forth with that.
Yes, you're right about that. You're right. The doesn't mean it's insincere. He believes it. So just stay out of my world. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I take care of myself. You take care of yourself. That's it. That's Shakespeare. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. That's Shakespeare's. That is meet us don't. Yes. The Russia. You mean the Russia seems to be worse than Saddam. The Russia seems to be.
He doesn't even have the ability to compromise at all.
Exactly.
And go forth with that.
Yes, you're right about that. You're right. The crude Russia is even worse than Saddam. But it's an interesting thing. Saddam is called the Russia Pill. But even though Saddam, they weren't as bad as you might think on the surface. They weren't as bad as you might think on the surface. But apparently, that's an important point to make, that apparently, according to Yadis, even though the person accepts Shali Shali and Shalach Shalach, which means that his egocentricity has been compromised by a legal mechanism is compromised of his egocentricity, but he still is considered a Russian. He still has not moved far enough away, and it's not even considered an advance. It's a shade, and it's an advance in the sense that it's not identical anymore, but not in terms of human perfection. In terms of human perfection, Van Shay Sedom, Royim, Vachatoyim, Larashem, the Mother. It means they were defined essentially as Rishoyim, as Chatoyim. Their essence was evil. So it shows you that if the egocentricity of man is compromised by a legal mechanism, he still is the same Russia. He hasn't really moved. Midas Sodom and Russia are two manifestations of the same thing, the same phenomena. The only time the person has made a move is by fairness. Of course, fairness, then he really has a sense of some kind of sense of objectivity. The Beinoni has a sense of objectivity. But he still has to hang on to what? He still has to hang on to possession in order to be able to exist. He can't tolerate losing the concept of possession. But he says, possession for me, possession for you. There's a sense of fairness about the institution. Okay? But the Am Haaretz has risen above this. The Am Haaretz has risen above this because he feels that there's no need. This is a higher level. His emotions are very nice. He's a fine person. See, and that's basically what, this Mishnah rocked the world for the past century. I mean, the communism. I mean, this is really the thing. So that's the Taina. Taina is the common good. Yeah, the common good is Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz is the common good. It's a good Taina. I mean, no one can argue it down. Can't argue it down. So why not? Of course. There shouldn't be any sense of possession. What do we need it for? Let's share mutually. We all want to live, want to thrive, want to exist. So what do we need this idea of possession for? Okay? That's the need of the Am Haaretz. The Am Haaretz is on a higher level, much higher level. He doesn't need to satisfy his egocentricity with the boundaries of possession. Doesn't need it. Doesn't need the mechanism. You see? Doesn't need the mechanism. So he does away with it. It's artificial. He removes the artificiality. All right. Very good sense of justice. Yeah. Very good sense of justice. But this, of course, means... This phenomena is not really possible to implement because the people who are implementing it aren't really all Am Haaretz. So not fair to certain people and to other people. So the system as they presented it, faction work. But the idea is a Mishnah. The idea is a Mishnah. All right. So Rabbeinu Yonah asks. He says, "I don't understand." He says, "A person that doesn't give tzedakah is an absolute Russian." Okay. So what does he say? He says, no, he gives tzedakah because of Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Hashem, he's afraid. He's afraid. Fear. So what does that mean? It means to say that if a person doesn't give tzedakah because he can't perceive of tzedakah because of his inherent character, his character can't tolerate the idea, that's a Russian. That's a Russian. But if a person gives tzedakah after the fact that the Torah says that it's the right thing to do, and that's why he gives tzedakah, so then he's a Beinoni. Because a Beinoni can handle such a thing. See, a Beinoni's emotion, that's why he says, Bishnom, point them on the Molzan, says, Dom, okay, he says. But if you don't hold the Midas Dom, he says, so he's a Beinoni, so how can he be a Beinoni? He is like this. The Beinoni is the one whose compromise is not because of a reassertion of the basic egocentric drives of possessiveness. That's not the reason why he has an objective. He perceives objective reality, and he sets up the system fairly. Okay, sets up the system fairly. He realizes he has to have a certain amount in order to satisfy. He has to have the concept of possession at least in order to satisfy the ego. Must have that concept. So he's really not a Midas Dom. But the Rabbeinu Yonah says, such a person, after you tell him that he has to give tzedakah, and you tell him that this is what God wants, and if he doesn't do it, he's going to be punished for it, so then he'll give tzedakah. That's why it's not a Russian. But he can't give tzedakah, intrinsic tzedakah. He can only give tzedakah if you tell him, this is what God wants you to do. This is what God says he wants you to do. Okay, fine, I don't want to start with God, that's it, this is it. Let's give tzedakah. Okay? So that's a person that gives tzedakah after the fact. After the fact he gives tzedakah. If there was no halacha, he would never give a penny. No halacha wouldn't be a penny. All right, that's the Rabbeinu Yonah. So there's two. So that's a different level of a no saint tzedakah. That's a different level of a no saint tzedakah. Yeah. By the way, those are the three. If I pull you. So it's arba midos ba'adam. So arba midos ba'adam. The Mishnah is setting forth, how do you define a person? How do you define the goodness of a person? What a person is. So the first, it's interesting. So what does the Mishnah say? The first area you look into is what? Exactly. The sense is the idea of possession. Interesting thing. And that's what we say. So the greatest imperfection is a person who doesn't relate properly to his possessions. That's what you say. That's why you say in Tfilas Nila. I mentioned a lot of times. L'man nechdal me'oshek yadena. V'noshev eilecha b'leiv sonim. So it says, the tefillah says, there's one avera that the tefillah ne'ilah, which is the moment before Yom, the last moment, ne'ilah sh'arim, last moment before Yom Kippur passes. So you mention this Mishnah. It's really, what is the worst trait? L'man nechdal me'oshek yadena. It means the man cannot overcome his sense of possession, of ownership. So you could see man, that's what it means, Abba Midos Bodam. How a person relates to his possessions. Okay? So the Mishnah is not severe. The Mishnah just shows you the different levels, the different possibilities. The last possibility is what? Is Chassid. What's the possibility? What is the Chassid? Chassid says, Sheli, Shelach. And Shelach, Shelach. What does it mean? Why does the Chassid say that? What's the level of the Chassid? Because it means to say like this. The Chassid is on a different level. The Chassid is on a different level. See? And this level is really the underlying concept of Tzedakah. The Chassid is, that's Sheli, Shelach, Shelach, Shelach. That's the height of Tzedakah. Tzedakah is an issue in Yadus, which is the very core of Yadus. The very core of Yadus is Tzedakah. Interesting. Tzedakah is all over.
Yeah.
Wherever you look in the Torah, it's Tzedakah. But Tzedakah is the first thing that the Torah says about Avraham Avinu. What does it say about Avraham Avinu? That key, when God told, what did God say? Ki yadativ, because I know Avraham. L'man asher yitzave es bonov v'shomru derech ad Hashem lasos tzedakah al mishpat. Tzedakah is the very beginning of the very first words that we have insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram in relation to founding the Ummah. Ki yadativ l'man asher yitzave es bonov lasos tzedakah al mishpat. Tzedakah al mishpat is the That represents the entire Ummah. Tzedakah is at the very foundation of Yadus. It's the very essence and the very core of Yadus. And that's the concept of the Chassid. It's interesting. Gemara says in Ksubas, Gemara says, Kol hamaylim eino min hatzedakah, a person that turns away from tzedakah. The Gemara says, is hareza oved avodah zarah. An interesting thing. Hareza oved avodah zarah. The Gemara says. Yeah, why is it over what is our? He's a great metaphysician, believes in God. He understands, he understands. Why? You got a chumash over there? This person wants to come. Rabbi Yishuv ben Kach Omer. That's not Chesmanov, you answer it. Rabbi Yishuv ben Kach Omer. Kol ha-mailem einov min ha-tzedakah ki-ilu oved avodas kachavim. Ksiv hacha, yishom ha-lecha, peni yadovam levavcha bliyal. The Torah says if a person doesn't want to get tzedakah, Torah gives the motivation. Peniyeh dovom levavcha bliyal. So it says bliyal means bliol means bliyal means the lowest level is bliyal. Uchsiv hasam, and the next in the pasuk later says yotzu anoshim bnei bliyal mikir becha vayadichu es anshei iram. So that's the iranidachas. Mal halan avodas kachovim afkan avodas kachovim. That's what the Gemara says. An amazing thing. You wouldn't think that a person doesn't get tzedakah that he's considering avodah zarah. Why is that so? The answer is there's a pasuk that explains it. Pasuk, and the Rambam explains this in the end of the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam explains this. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Tzavter of Tzav, Kol Ma Hashem, Al Yisal Chacham B'Chachmoso, Val Yisal Agibur B'Dvuroso, Val Yisal Osher Basho. That a person shouldn't praise himself, shouldn't feel any kind of haughtiness about his knowledge, how much knowledge he has. He could be the greatest scientist. There's no reason for him to, it's not a reason for him to feel proud. And no matter how physically powerful or how courageous a person is, he shouldn't be proud because of his courage. And I'll just tell Lasher Basho, no matter how great a person's wealth is, it's not a reason to be proud. Kim Bezos is how I'm a fellow. There's only one thing that a person has a right to feel proud about. And what is that? Haskel V'yadoh means knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is the only thing. Because knowledge of God means that he has a knowledge of the total reality, and he understands the source of all reality. He's related insofar as he's capable of understanding and being related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There a person can feel proud, because that pride is not egoism. It can't be egoism. It's a different kind of pride. It's the one healthy pride that a person is permitted to have, because the pride is that he realizes his place in the universe. And that pride, as a matter of fact, is tied with the greatest humility. It's a strange phenomenon, but this pride is the greatest humility, because once a person realizes what his position is in the universe, he's filled with the greatest humility. That a person can feel proud of himself in the sense that he's in reality. But that pride is simultaneously the greatest humility. So that's the only pride that is legitimate in man. That's what the Navi says. That's what Yirmiyahu Navi says. But if he stopped there, it'd be one thing. But he continues. The Navi says, Ki ani Hashem ose chesed mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. So you think when it says Ki ani Hashem haskel v'yadoa osi, it means a metaphysical genius. No. Metaphysical genius not. It says v'yadoa osi ki ani Hashem ose chesed mishpat utztaka ba'aretz ki ve'eila chafatzi nam Hashem. So what does it mean? Ki ve'eila chafatzi nam Hashem. It means this is what the Rambam says in the end of the Mori. It says this is the ma'ani afato. So what does that mean? That means to say that if a person perceives Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he understands how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should a person give tzedakah? A person should give tzedakah, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tzedakah. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives tzedakah. He's osa tzedakah mishpat ba'aretz. So if a person perceives that a person is on the true level of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tzedakah has to be a natural result, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets tzedakah, and he understands that this is the underlying system of the universe. Once he understands that, his meager possessions are worthless, don't mean anything in his eyes. And tzedakah is a natural phenomenon. He emulates HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he realizes that this is truly the scheme of the creation. He understands that this is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he's an Osan Tzedakah. That's why tzedakah is the mark of an individual's, it's the mark of an individual's level of perfection. If a person can have all kinds of perfection, but he doesn't have the perfection of tzedakah, it's worthless, it's nothing. It's a fraud. Why is it a fraud? For a very simple reason. Because he may have intellectual knowledge, and he may be a big London, and he may have a lot of characteristics. He may be a great Rav. You know, the Rav one time mentioned, he said that tzedakah is a difficult thing. He said that the greatest offenders are many times Rabbanim. Rav mentioned this one. He says, years ago, Rav didn't make a living. So Rav had a, they used to make for Rav. What they do is, they let him sell candles in the Shabbos. Because he didn't have any money. So they made an appeal. So the Rav couldn't contribute because he was a nitzrich himself. If a person's mispanis, not tzedakah, is a nitzrich. He doesn't have what to live on. He's not... So in those days, he says, Rabbanim they make an appeal, Rabbanim didn't announce anything. He says, but today, he says, Rabbanim are making better livings many times than many people in the congregation. And they still don't announce anything. So something which is, tzedakah is the bottom line. Tzedakah is the bottom line of perfection. It shows you that a person can talk about chesed, he could be a lamdin, he could do everything, but if there's no nesina tzedakah, it's a fraud. Because the person simply doesn't really believe in what he's saying. He doesn't believe in it. His emotions are not going along with his mind. Emotions are not going along with his mind, so he's not true. He's not true. Tzedakah is the barometer of perfection. So why does the Gemara say, Kol ha'milim einov min ha'tzedakah is ke'ilu oved avodah zarah? It's an interesting thing. Why is ke'ilu avodah zarah? Hey, he's not a rachum, he's not this. What is ke'ilu avodah zarah? What's the answer? The answer is because his idea of God has to be distorted. That's what I mean. It means if a person does not... there's one principle of psychology the Torah holds. That principle of psychology is as follows. That if a person harbors a bad midah and doesn't break the bad midah, then his mind is going to be distorted. That's a principle of psychology that Yahadus maintains straight through. That any individual, there's no such thing as isolating a bad midah and putting it in a corner and having it not affect the rest of the human personality and his intellect itself. Why do Chazal say that a person can't study metaphysics until he's a great individual? Why is it that in the universities of this country you can go and you can study take any course in metaphysics and there's no entrance requirements that the person should be a Baal Tzedakah and a Baal Chesed and he should have any previous mental training? Why is that so? Because Yahadus maintains differently than the rest of the world. Yahadus maintains that a person cannot attain knowledge in an area where there are emotional distortions. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. There cannot be a great metaphysician who is also, at the same time, a Russia, corrupt, I don't care what kind of books he's written, I don't care what kind of intellect the man has, there has to be falsehood in his writings. Must be. Impossible otherwise. Because his mind must be affected by the emotions. That's why it's true. He may be so astute that you might not be able to pick up the errors in his writings because you're not intelligent enough. He's a great mind, a great genius, so you might not be able to point it out to him. But the fact that it's false is a foregone conclusion by Yahadus. Has to be false. That's why you're not permitted to read the writings of such people. That's why Chazal was very careful. That first of all, people who are corrupt, their writings are false, and their ideas are false, and even though you might not be intelligent enough to be able to pick it up where the falsehood lies, but you can be sure that it's there. And a real Chacham will be able to show you where it is. Real Chacham will be able to show you where it is. But you and your level are not permitted to read his works. And this person, his intellect has, of necessity, has got to be distorted. So if a person's midos, that's really, why do you have avos for? What is avos? Avos, what do you have to have avos for? Learn about perfection. We can learn a taisis now. You're learning a taisis, learn a Rambam, a lot of deep ideas, deep thoughts. What's the answer? The answer is because this is a prerequisite. If you don't have the perfection, all you're thinking, when it comes to any area of reality, is going to be distorted. So if a person, you understand very well, if a person studies Torah, what does the Rambam say? A person can study Torah, and a person has a wrong idea about the Rabbanu Shel Olam, or a wrong idea about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his aim of Chelek Olam Haba. He has no Chelek Olam Haba. So learning is necessary. Talmud Torah is a necessity for perfection. But it doesn't mean that if a person is an astute scholar, he could be the greatest genius. But it doesn't mean that he's guaranteed a place in Olam Haba. If that learning is not ultimately used in terms of Yediyas Hashem, which is the ultimate Yediyah, so then this his learning is worthless. So in tzedakah is the barometer. Tzedakah is the barometer. If a person is a no saint tzedakah, then it means that he sincerely believes in his Yediyas Hashem are true. It means to say there's no... He recognizes Ki Ani Ad Hashem Haskel V'yado Asi Ki Ani Ad Hashem Ose Chesed Mishpat Utsdaka Boretz Ki Ve'ela Chafatzki Nel Hashem. That's the metaphysical idea. Yahadus' metaphysician is not simply an ingenious metaphysician. He's a metaphysician with regard to the Borei Olam insofar as he relates to the world is concerned. That's the true metaphysician, but not just an abstract metaphysician. So if a person is not a no-saint tzedakah, so his idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is corrupt. Has to be corrupt. Must be. It's impossible otherwise. Because if his idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is correct, he would have to be Mahu Afata. It's a natural result. So if his idea is corrupt, his idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so apparently his idea of God is not the right idea. That's Ovid Barzah. That's Ovid Barzah. What is Ovid Barzah? Ovid Barzah means Avodah Zarah is used as a heading in Kala Torah Kula. It means one thing, Ovid Barzah. Ovid Barzah means he has a wrong notion in relationship to God. That's what Avodah Zarah is. persons will not be coerced, he's over to whatever. Same thing, there's no difference in categories. The same thing. What does the Rambam say? Das means la vodazar. It's all a vodazar. Means any time a person has a distortion in relationship to the idea of the Creator, so he's over to vodazar. So if a person is not a nosim tzedakah, so his idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is corrupt. So apparently the God that he's praying to, the God that he's associating with, is not the right, he doesn't have the right idea. That's not the right idea, over to vodazar. That's the problem. Yes. Tzedakah means as follows. For us, let me explain that a little bit. What does it mean that God gives tzedakah? It means that God's actions. You see, the Rambam says, I don't remember where the Rambam says, I don't remember if it says in the Mora, it says another place. He says, in passing, sort of, he says that the real perfected individual emulates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he acts towards the creatures, as the other creatures, as God does. What does that mean? That means that just as God does not act out of selfishness, there's no concept of selfishness in God, but God's actions are purely in terms of his chokhmah, so too an individual has to remove himself from his emotional sense of selfishness. And he has to operate on a broader perspective, a perspective of kiyum hamin, a perspective of chesed for another human being, apart from himself, apart from his own interests. As long as a person's tied in his own personal interests, whether it's selfishness in terms of recognition, whether it's selfishness in terms of monetary selfishness, he is not functioning in any way that's similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's functioning on an instinctual plane, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is completely removed from any kind of instinctual activity. Of course, there's no instincts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk say, this Kadishtan the Yisan Kadoshim Kikadosh Oni. You should be holy because I am holy. How can we be holy like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy? It doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy. He's Yochid, Echad, Yochid, Miuchad. But what does it mean? How can a person be holy? A person can be holy because there's a part of his makeup that could function completely removed from the instinctual, only in terms of objectivity. It's a different kind of chesed. It's the chesed and tzedakah of Mahu Achata. And that's why this Mishnah, the Arba Midos Ba'odom, where it starts to deal with perfection, deals precisely with this area. Because this is the area of perfection. This is the barometer, this is the underlying line. And you can tell very easily. As a matter of fact, the only mitzvah in the Torah that God says to man that you could test me out with that mitzvah, it's stuck. The only time, the only mitzvah of the Torah. In lo eftach l'shem, in lo v'chem arubas ha'shamayim, v'chem v'chem baracha ad b'lidai. Which means to say that if a person gives tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he'll return the tzedakah tenfold. So the Gemara says, Chazal say that it's the only, never do a mitzvah just because you want to receive a reward. But in tzedakah it's permissible. In tzedakah it's permissible. The only mitzvah that's permissible. It's permissible because if it's done in the proper way, it means to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to actually return the chesed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all chesed. He's the source of all tzedakah. The source of all tzedakah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of tzedakah, why is the idea of tzedakah really the most paramount and the most basic idea in Yadus? Because tzedakah goes against a very strong type of thinking. It goes against thinking which I would call hedonistic logic. Hedonistic logic tells you that if you give something away, you're losing. That's hedonistic logic. And you can't possibly logically show that it's wrong. It's logical 100%. You're taking something of your possessions and you're giving it to somebody else. To somebody else or to some other purpose other than yourself. Okay? So the giving is absolutely logically a loss. You're taking it, you have X amount of dollars, and removing that X amount of dollars, logically a loss. Yadus, the essence of Yadus, is that this type of logic is absolutely false. This logic is, there's a reality beyond that. Beyond the hedonistic reality, there's a greater reality. And if a person is not tuned into that greater reality, then he's He simply is not on. He simply is not is not in line with the others. He's denying the whole base of the others. What's the whole base of the others? The base of the others is that there is a reality beyond the physical and instinctual reality that you are surrounded with. If you don't accept that, so then you have no shaykh with the others. I'm saying no. It's not a war. It's not a real war. On the contrary, it's a game. It's a game. It's an absolute game because now he is in line with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Different reality. A different Tov. He's removing himself from the instinctual Tov and he's in line with a different kind of a Tov. That's why the Mishnah says, Arba Midos Ba'odam. That's Laman Nechdal Me'osha Kedeno. Laman Nechdal Me'osha Kedeno. That's the mission. That's the mission. Chassid, what is the Chassid? I'm finished with Chassid. Not my question. Hold your question. Doesn't matter. The chassid, what is the perspective of the chassid? The perspective of the chassid is as follows. The chassid thinks like this. The chassid thinks that the beinoni, he recognizes that a person has to have the concept of possession. The average person can't. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says about Yoav ben Tzruya, that he lived in the Midbar Kishon Beso. Beso, Bamidbar, you think the general of the armed forces of Israel, the most powerful country in the world at the time, is going to live in a desert? Lamar says, no. Beso Kamidbar. Because anybody walked into his house, he didn't have any concept of possession. That's what Hazal said by Yoav ben Tzruya. That was Yoav ben Tzruya. The Torah criticized it so strongly. This was the person that deserved all that criticism. That was the level he was on. So this is the very core, the very basis, the very nucleus of the idea of Yadav. So the chassid is like this. The chassid says like this. The chassid says he knows. The chassid is a person who looks at the brios just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but in a human way. Can't be just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Insofar as humanly possible, he looks at the brios like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, with total objectivity. So therefore he recognizes that they must have the institution of possession, because they can't survive. A person can't survive that way. Person, the average person, he must have an outlet for his egocentricity. So he says, Shalach, Shalach. You can have it. But Shali, Shalach. He is above that concept. And he's a no-sane tzedakah. It's not his. It's not a no-sane tzedakah, it's his. He's no-sane tzedakah like a Kaddish Baruch with no-sane tzedakah. It's a different kind of a framework. Looking from a different perspective. That's the level of a chassid. Okay. It's a very good thing to do, but before breaking a person's emotions, there's this prior consideration. There are objective considerations. In other words, if a yeshiva is teaching your son, so you have an obligation of chesed to that institution. Now, what are they teaching your son? What could they do? Or they're teaching your friend's son. I mean, what? No, but I'm just saying. In the example, I'm using the example again. A person's priorities. It's important for a person to break his emotions. But you can't indulge in the breaking of your own emotions before you take care of objective considerations. In other words, if a person do you a favor, say, I'm not going to do this guy a favor, because I'll do a guy a favor, I don't know. So then I'll be breaking my emotions. You first have to act rationally, objectively. Then you can indulge in breaking your emotions. But you can't... I'm giving tzedakah over there. Why? Because this yeshiva is helping me, so that's why I'll give over there. I don't want to... It doesn't make any sense. A person's obligation is always going to be first and foremost to those that he's obligated in chesed to. And if a person does you chesed, HaKaras HaTov demands it. Your obligation is there first. Okay. I love tzedakah as a benefit. There's no question about it. There's no question about that. The Gemara says if a person doesn't give tzedakah, HaKaras Baruch Hu takes the money away from him. He loses it somehow. He may not even know how. But the Gemara says, it's tzedakah techashavah. Still considered tzedakah. Why? It means if the person loses his sense of possession, if it breaks his sense of possession, then if I failed to give tzedakah and I lost $10,000 because of that, if I recognize that the loss is because I didn't give tzedakah, then it's considered tzedakah. Because I broke the emotion. That's what the Gemara says. How many people give 10% tzedakah? You know how many people? Very few. Very few. It's you see from the fact that it's such a difficult mitzvah. I mean, I know a handful of people that I'm a kind of mitzvah. It's a very difficult thing to do. And it has nothing to do with your financial status. I'll tell you right now, if a person doesn't get tzedakah when he's poor, he's not going to get tzedakah when he's rich. He doesn't give a suck when he's rich, he's not giving a suck. There's nothing to do with it. It's just like it's a midah. It's a midah. It's a perception. No one, what the Rambam says, no one becomes poor from tzedakah. It has nothing to do with a person's financial status. So I say, look, if I had $10 million, I would give away $1 million. You know why I can give it away? Because he's giving away money that's not his. That's always easy to give away. The moment it's his, he can't do it. Chesed, the Gemara says, chesed is tzedakah is the mamona. In one respect, chesed is bigger than tzedakah. Because chesed is the gufa uber mamona. Right. And mishpat, justice, that's all. Any person that's a no-saying tzedakah because of the true reason of nisina tzedakah, it has to be on the highest level. What the true flavor of a no-saying tzedakah is, but it has to do with Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs, is the creator, the source of the entire universe, and what he gives is pure chesed. Pure chesed, not to satisfy any kind of emotion. Yes. You come first. I come first. Yes. In terms of 10%, yes. In terms of Maisa, yes. Achzak the Torah is Maisa. Achzak the Torah is Maisa. Achzak the Torah is Maisa. That's Maisa. Yeah. See, by Avraham, Uchoim Mikael Elion. Yeah, Achzak is there. He was a Kohen. He was the. So he gave him Tzedakah. He gave him Eitmon Maisa Mikael. Avraham Avinu gave to Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek was Ruh Cohen Mikael Elion. That means that he had a yeshiva where he taught true ideas, and that's shame. Shame yeshiva, shame vever. It wasn't a yeshiva like the high yeshiva today, but Torah, yes, absolutely.
Emphasizing the point a little more. The Gemara says in Ksubas, Samach Chesamad Aleph, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, Kol Amaylim Einov Menat Zaka, Ki Ilu Oved Avod Sechav. But any person that refrains from giving Zaka, it's as if he worships idols. Ksiv Hacha, one prophet says, Yisham Alacha Pen Yed Dovam Levavcha Bliyav. So that's by Aser Ta'aser, that's by Mitzvah Tzedakah. Some Parshas Re'eh it says, Pen Yedovim Vafabliyau, Kavar Shnasa Sheva, Shnasa Shmita. V'ro'ayin Chol B'chicho Evnyam, V'lo Sikon Lo. So if the person is worried that his Chol is going to lose the Chol, so he doesn't want to give Tzedakah, he doesn't want to give him a loan. All right, but it means Tzedakah. So it says, that's one Pasuk. Yisham Alacha Pen Yedovim Vafabliyau. Utsiv hasam yatsu anoshim b'nei b'liyal mikir becha. So later it says, and again it says, by ir nidacha. He is ir nidacha in Re'eh. Yisishma b'achas arecha asher Hashem l'kecha noshim l'chol asher Hashem l'hema. Yatsu anoshim b'nei b'liyal mikir becha. Okay. B'nei b'liyal mikir becha. So that's the, they're over there, what is up. All right. That's Irani Dacha. Then a little further on the Parsha, you have Aser to Aser. You have Aser to Aser, and then it says that you should be careful. Yishamalacha, test vav test. Yishamalacha, penyeh dov and vavcha b'liyal leim, or karash nasa shevash nasa shmita v'ayin chobachicha avyam lo sikin lo. V'karlecha l'shem v'ayivach l'chei. Okay? So the Gemara says that just like before with Bliyal, it says Bliyal before means Ovi Avodah Zarah, over here also means Ovi Avodah Zarah. What does Bliyal mean? Rashi says Bliyal. Bliyal. So it's hard to understand at first sight. I mean, what does it have to do with the Avodah Zarah? It's hard to relate Avodah Zarah to refusal to give tzedakah. Seems like two different areas. Avodah Zarah is a misconception with relation to the Creator, and Tzedakah is a separate thing. It's a midah. You can't need it. It's a midah to Adam that it can't be a no sin. Can't be a no sin. We discussed last time. Well, what is the correlation between the two? Why are they both considered the same? What I want to say is that it has to do with what we spoke about last time. That the really it's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that explains it. Yeah. And Yirmiyahu says that what does the pasuk say? Yeah, it's over there.
Haskel for your Doa Osi, Kianiyat Hashem, Osech Chesed, Mishpot and Stucker Barak, Kidei Lachafat Sinam Hashem. Right? So it's an extra Sukkum Chof Beis and Chof Gimel. Alright, so the first part you understand. Now, you tell Chochma Chof Masa, we explained it. Even Chochma is not really, Chochma Sa Adam is really not something you can take pride in, per se, only insofar as it gives him knowledge of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Kim Bezos, Talmud, Haskel Yidor Osi. So it should have stopped there, Haskel Yidor Osi. Why does it say, Ki Aniyat Hashem, Osa Chesed, Mishpor, Zdokah, Bo'or, Ki Ve'eloch HaFatzim, Minam Hashem. That's an unusual kind of thing. That's a funny relationship. What does it mean? So there's two things. There's metaphysical knowledge of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. What? Tachtor Tzav. Okay. So that I understand, but how do you relate to an ethical, to the ethical ways of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? It would seem like it's two different things. Recognition of a Kaddish Baruch Hu as the Borei Olam, the creator of the universe, the source of the source of all existence. Eigashan Vram Hashem Hashem Kel Olam. The Kel Olam. That's Avram. Avram Hashem Hashem Kel Olam. God's the creator of the universe. So that we understand. But Ani Hashem Osem Mishpat Utsdaka Ba'oret. Chesed Mishpat Utsdaka Ba'oret is that's a different thing. It seems to be unrelated to the fact that God is a Borei Olam. And over here it says that you learn it out from the fact that it says B'liyahu. It seems to be unrelated to the fact that God is a Borei Olam. And over here it says that you learn it out from the fact that it says Bliyal in both cases. And what does Bliyal mean? Bliol. Okay. So first of all, you have to understand what does it mean, Bliol? Why is an Oved Avodah Zarah considered Bliol? Oved Avodah Zarah doesn't have difficult things that he does? And more difficult things he does than we do. He sacrifices his children to his gods. So that's considered Belial. I mean, why is that Belial? He has a tremendous burden. Some of the rights of the primitive rights, if you ever read about them, the Ovid of Arzara, they were far more difficult to any mitzvah in the Torah at all. On the contrary, mitzvah in the Torah don't involve any pain. The only time you have pain is Yom Kippur. Not that painful. 25 hours. But the Ovid of Arzara has very painful rights. It's physically painful. So, and yet they can very, a lot of them are very tremendous restrictions. Why is it considered B'li'ol without an O? The answer is because an O doesn't mean something that's difficult. Most people think Kabbalah Tol Macha Shemayim means you have to accept something that's very difficult. But an O is a yoke. People think of a yoke as something that's painful and difficult. So that's what the concept of Kabbalah Tol is. But you see, it's not true, because the Ovid Avodah Zarah have a very heavy burden, and yet it's considered Belial. Belial. Why? The answer is because the Ovid Avodah Zarah, the ultimate goal of the Ovid Avodah Zarah is really to satisfy the self. He does the most painful thing, but his purpose, his ultimate goal in doing these painful performances is really for the self, for his self-security, for his self-preservation, for his self-enjoyment. He'll go through the most painful rites, but the purpose of all those rites are one thing. It's only for the self. That's the purpose. That's Ovid Avodah Zarah. He projects a false reality and submits himself to the most painful activities, because in the end he wants to achieve a certain benefit for himself. And that's why he does it. That's the motivation of the Ovid Avodah Zarah. So that's called Belial. Belial means that it doesn't matter how painful the process is, you see, but what the ultimate goal is. That's how it's defined. So the excuse me one second. But the Jew, the Israel, in recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
is not just submitting to a painful system. Matter of fact, the system is not characterized as painful. It's not characterized as a painful system at all. So we're not submitting to a painful system. We're submitting to reality, the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we break our emotions and subordinate ourselves to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all. As I mentioned once before, that what's the biggest Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim is what? Kriya Shema. Right? Now, if a person would want to explain how to be the Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim, he would not think of Parshas Krishna. He can't even Kabbal Alatmi, all the Yisurim and the difficulties, whatever it might be. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he is Elokeinu, his Ashgacha relates to us. Hashem, the one who is high over the year, Echad, Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean? It means the recognition of the reality. The reality outside of our own small world of personal wishes, you see, and things that we like and our likes and dislikes, acceptance of a reality that's outside of that world, that is one that we involve ourselves in, we try to remove ourselves from the personal, that's Kabbalah's all. That's really all. Because it means an acceptance of some reality outside of the self. It has nothing to do with the self. The purpose is not in order to achieve any benefit for ourselves. That is not the purpose. What's the purpose? The purpose is that, because that's what it is. Because that's the reality of our existence. So that is really, that's all. Okay. From Tzar Agra doesn't mean that a person should look for Tzar. Doesn't mean that. It means that it's a barometer of how committed the person is to the system. It's a barometer of commitment, but it's not the essence. Not the essence. Somebody read to me recently that somebody was describing the people in the Bnei Brak that they consider tzaddikim. They go through Shulchan Aruch and they look for chumras. That's a person that's not interested in what the Torah says. He's interested in suffering. He values suffering and. That really, on the contrary, many times the motivation for such a thing is because the person feels that through the suffering he's going to secure for himself some great gain. If that's the case, so then on the contrary, so it's belial. It's belial. The person, he's looking for the self. He's taking a circuitous route, but he's ultimately coming back to the self. That's, as long as the objective is the benefit of the self, then it's belial. And the Torah, the concept of Yadus is Kabbalah's all. Kabbalah's all means a recognition of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his universe and his laws and his Torah and the subordination of the self to that reality without any purpose, self-seeking purpose. Because that's what reality is. That's what Emes is. And a commitment to Emes demands that we act that way. That's why Chazal learned Torah under the best conditions, and they learned her under the worst conditions, whether they were personally bad conditions, whether they were sick. What does Rambam say? Chigna, sick, blind, diseased, no matter what. Because that's the reality of life. The person doesn't learn Torah or do mitzvahs because of any kind of benefit. That's life. That's the reality. Subordination to the reality. Okay? Yes. So, Shalom Lishma is still for the self. But that's why it says the only reason that a person should do mitzvahs, shalol lishma, is shemitach shalol lishma bol lishma. But if it's never bol lishma, so then there's really no value. So there's an equation between avodah zarah and between what? Refusal to give tzedakah. Interesting. What is the analogy between the two, really? What's the analogy between the two? So what it means like this, really. What it means is that we understand there's an idea here that it's a very delicate idea. It's a delicate idea, but you have to, it's one that's emphasized by Chazal very much, and the Rambam, everybody, that the imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mahu Afata. And the Mahu Afata, everybody quotes the Mahu Afata. You know, but what does it mean, really? We have to understand it on a deeper level. Not just, okay, so Baruch Hu, what does it mean, basically? What is it?